Recording?
Yes.
Got it. Now we can start. Good evening. Welcome to Barack and Michelle Obama Academy's GoTeam meeting, where we will follow the agenda as it has been emailed to you and publicly noticed. I would like to remind everyone that this is a meeting of the GoTeam. Only members of the GoTeam may participate in the discussion. Any members of the public present are here to quietly observe. For members of the GoTeam, please identify yourself when you speak. I'm pleased to call this meeting of the BAMO Go Team to order at 4:53 p.m. Our first order of business is to call roll. Secretary Ms. Appling will call roll.
Dr. Robert Christian.
Here.
Alicia DeCrisio.
Here.
Nicola Joseph. Myself to make it happen here. Bill Lawrence.
Here.
Jared Bale.
Here.
Kimia Thompson. Rick Lopez.
Here.
Katie Beecham.
We do have a quorum. Well, is there a quorum? I was just asking you. I know there was. I was just asking you. Is there a quorum present? The first item on our agenda is to approve the agenda. This was provided to you and copies are here. Are there any changes to the agenda? If there are no changes, may I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay.
Nay. Can't say it twice.
The agenda is approved. We can now move on to approve the meeting minutes from our last meeting. The minutes have also been provided to you. Please review them now and let us know if there are any corrections. If there are no corrections, may I have a motion to approve the previous meeting's minutes?
Motion.
A second? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Please say nay. Any abstentions? The meeting minutes have been approved. Our next item on the agenda is to fill our vacant parent seat. This seat is an appointment?
Yes. At this time, I would like to appoint Ms. Carol Dale to our parent seat here at Barack and Michelle Obama Academy. She's been an amazing volunteer since last year, and she consistently is here. She started out working to help us with the courier, but she's here almost every day volunteering. And I don't know what we would do without her here at Barack and Michelle Obama Academy. She's the parent of one of our students that's now in kindergarten. And so I would like to appoint her to our vacant parent seat. Would you like to say a few words?
I appreciate the honor. And I will do the best I possibly can because I love all children, these children in the school. I love the administration. I love the principal. I love Ms. Scott. So I love what the school stands for. So if y'all want me to be as a parent seat, I really would do well.
Thank you, Ms. Dell. Are there any questions? If there are no questions, may I have a motion to approve the appointment of Ms. Dell? Motion. Do I have a second?
A second.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say nay. Any abstentions? Congratulations, we have filled our parent seat and appointed Ms. Bell. Congratulations and thank you for your service. We can now move on to the discussion items in our agenda. We will hear from Dr. Christian a presentation on the school strategic plan.
Okay, so this is probably one of my most exciting GoTeam meetings. The next 2 to 3, I think, Mr. Crescio, you've been with me for this. This is really the onset of where we begin to get into like the budget season, starting in like January or February. So one of the most beautiful things about this is the time of year where we look at our previous strategic plan and to make sure that we update those priorities and action steps to be in alignment with where we are as far as our school performance. This plan is very important because this is where we pretty much, it assists us with making sure that we are in line with our budget and how we spend our money, and this is where I definitely need you all's voice. So with that said, so I can stay on script, our strategic plan is the guide for the work we're doing in the school. Here you will see the timeline, so we can just take a few minutes to go through that, and it just kind of shows you how this, you know, lays out. So right now, as you can see, we are really in alignment with step 4. We're going to be utilizing our current school data. We have, you know, map data and some prior GNAS data that we're going to use. The GoTeam will review and possibly update the school strategic priorities and plan. And I can definitely tell you, we'll definitely be doing that. And then before winter break, so hopefully at our next GoTeam meeting, we will take action on the rank of the plan priorities for the upcoming school year, so that we can be ready for our budget when our budget is released. And that will take place when we get back in January or February when our budgets are released. And so next, let's see. And so the discussion items we have here before us, you all should have a copy of our current strategic plan in front of you. And I wanna give everyone time for that. I don't know, we emailed it out to those.
I did email it out.
Okay, it looks like this. Also, our continuous improvement plan, which we have, it's been approved by the district and, of course, the state DOE, which includes our needs assessment, our SMART goals, and our action plan. We're already involved in that now. And then we have to make sure that our strategic plan is aligned and updated, because as you can see, the strategic plan that we have here before us is based on last year. And we will be using map data, and then we're going to be going through a data protocol to look at our comparison between spring of last year and the fall of this year to see how our students are progressing. Yeah, so the first thing I want us to do is to look at our current strategic plan, and I want to give Ms. Scott an opportunity for everyone that's on virtually to get a copy of that. This is a one pager. Of course, it's 21 through 25. However, every year we have to update that. As you can see, this was based on MAP from last year. And our new SIP plan is based on GMAS. So that's been a shift in the district. Most of the district is using, for their SMART goals, they are using MAP, because the GMAS scores is pretty much what's communicated out to the public. And we wanna make sure that our students are progressing. And it's also a part of the APS guardrails and soft G goals. So we wanna make sure that as a school, we're supporting the district's efforts in improving the proficiency of students in elementary school, middle, and high. But any questions, anybody, everybody's able to see the current strategic plan. Okay. We just give it a minute for our online guests, our online GoTeam members, get a copy of that. And as you review it, you can see that we definitely need to update several things on here that are not in line with some of our strategic priorities, as well as the strategies that we're using.
Lawless Lawless. I just emailed this back to the student.
Okay. Okay. So once again, this is our school strategic plan. And so last year, based on that, by March of 23, students scoring at the beginning level on MAP will decrease from 47% to 44%, and then improving the proficiency from 20% to 25%. Also in mathematics, 45% to 42% beginning, and an increase of 13% to 18% proficient. And our attendance was to decrease the percentage of students with chronic attendance concerns from 49.6% to 44%. And as you can see, our APS strategic priorities and initiatives, that will not change, but each school, we have to decide no more than two strategic priorities in that area and then develop those school strategies. But this was based on last year's performance. So the next thing I want you to do, and you'll see, you'll start to see where we need to make some adjustments in our strategic plan. If you look at the continuous improvement plan, you'll see NEECS assessment and you'll see action plans. There are two documents. I believe it's one that's kind of greenish and one that's orange. Those are the two documents that we'll be using today to update what's on our school strategic plan. The first thing is what we want to do is to make sure that our goals are in alignment. We don't want to have, you know, two documents with two different goals. And so as you can see here, we used a NEECS assessment here. This is something that we worked on this summer across the district. It was about, between 2 or 3 days to get training on it. It's a new instrument. What I love about it is it looks at a root cause analysis. And so when you look at your needs, it leads you to developing a problem statement. And from that problem statement, using strengths and challenges, that's how you come up with your particular action steps and goals. Same thing here. This is the root cause analysis piece. And so once again, you can look at literacy problem statement, our numeracy problem statement, and our whole child and intervention problem statement. And then from that, we were able to derive some root cause reasons as to why, for example, in literacy, 3/4 of our students in grades 3 through 5 are not reaching a level of proficiency within the writing domain of key ideas and details. So one of the things that we realized is that in our ELA performance and milestones, what was keeping our kids from really hitting proficiency is the writing. A lot of times our students don't like to write. And so we felt that this year it would be important for us to focus on writing. And you'll see later on in our continuous improvement plan that we have laid out some action steps. The teachers actually just got trained on a curricular resource to supplement that along with the district resource Write Score. But we are now using Writing A to Z, which is the platform that scaffolds literacy for students. Okay. Any questions? Okay. And so this is how we came up with our SMART goals. After we finished our root cause analysis, we realized that we needed to increase the proficiency of students 14.9% to 19%, which you will notice that's different from previous years. Normally we have a 3% increase, but we want to make sure that we strive higher, and I'm still striving higher than the 19% proficiency and 22% proficiency in numeracy, as well as our suspension data, but this is a 5% increase versus a 3% in previous years. And then we also look at how we're going to monitor that. And so you will see with any continuous improvement plan that you have different metrics that you'll use to determine whether or not you're looking like you're going to hit those different metrics. So everything from our Write Score assessments to Writing A to Z, common assessments, which is a part of our school-wide data protocol. One thing that's important for our MAP this year is all of our assessments are already done for us. So from our pre-assessment, mid-module, and end of unit, as well as our MAP growth assessments that we'll take again in November. And then as far as our whole child and intervention, our weekly CARES Nest meetings, we have those every week on Wednesdays. our monthly PBIS. We also just won an APS PBIS Emerging Star certificate. I put it up front, so very excited about that. We've done a lot of work around creating positive behavior reinforcements with mindfulness and restorative practices. So we've done a lot of work with that. APS graphs monthly overview and the weekly support logs and the office call log review. That's how we look at those students who need some additional supports in the classroom. I see one small typo up there in our whole child intervention. We'll get that situated, okay? And so this is my favorite part of the continuous improvement plan, because it's all about the action. So what would we do? So as I'm explaining this, I want us to look at our strategic plan, because what you want is you want to make sure that your school strategies are on your strategic plan are in line with your action steps on your SIP. Okay, so as you can see, for example, utilizing the FFP curriculum with fidelity in order to implement a balanced literacy framework, and we've spelled that out. We don't make mention of that in our continuous improvement plan, okay? Because remember, this was last year. And so right now we have to make sure that this continuous improvement plan is in line with our school strategic plan, because we use our school strategic plan to map out our budget come the spring, right? Winter, spring. So we wanna make sure that whatever we're saying we're going to do here is in line with our school strategic plan. And right now there are some things. Now we are still doing these things, but these are things that are not outlined in our continuous improvement plan. For example, I can already tell you, and I'm probably overstepping myself, we need to update our strategic plan to make sure that we are highlighting the focus that we have on writing. That is not really mentioned here in depth, and we want to make sure that it's highlighted so that we're in alignment. And the reason being is that when it comes to budget season, we want to make sure that we allocate funding for that. Okay, so the write score system is free from the district, but writing A to Z, you know, we had to pay for that. That is a cost. So we've already had to pay for that. And if that's working for us, we want to make sure that we budget that out for the next school year, as well as writing city. So the teachers just had training on that. And so we want to make sure that our plan, our CIP, so I'll go ahead and start using that, is in line with our strategic plan. Okay, so those are two documents. Okay, same here where it says we have subgroups. So in our school, we have decided to focus on our population of students with disabilities. Okay, we want to make sure that we are not allowing them to go without support. And so I have reached out, and we are receiving training. Tomorrow is actually a training day for our Department of Special Education. It's something called SDI. So if you've never heard of it, to those parents that are on GO Team, as well as our community members, it's called Specially Designed Instruction. Okay, and so these are research-based practices that looks at, they look at like the student's IEP goals, and they come up with specially designed instruction. So it's one thing to put an accommodation on an IEP, but it's another thing for a special ed teacher to be trained in, so what do you do differently with this scholar that this student may not have in the general ed setting? And so tomorrow we will be in a 2-hour training with that. And then each teacher will walk away with, for every DSC student they have, they will walk away with one SDI strategy that they're going to try for about 6 weeks and using data with that. So we're very excited about that. We are very hopeful that we will see the fruition of that when the students take their MAP assessment, as well as those students in 3, 4, and 5, when they take the GMAS assessment as well, because they need those additional supports. And right, so we are in line with that. And also, right, so once again, mathematics. All right, so I definitely know we have to update some things here, because even the language that I'm seeing here when it comes to how we're going to support our students in math is very different. We have a new math curricular resource, and we have new math standards across the state of Georgia. So here we have outlined our action steps where we're going to be implementing our district unit internalization. Those have been mapped out very well by Atlanta Public Schools. I'm very proud of the work that they've done, as well as the resources that go along with that. professional learning opportunities that support the understanding and implementation of the state's new mathematical framework. Our district is very closely aligned in the framework, and then also facilitate bi-weekly coaching support with math teachers. All of these have already started here at our school, so we are looking really good as far as being in line with all of those action steps for mathematics. So once again, this is the first year of these new math standards in Georgia. It is a hold harmless year when it comes to Georgia milestones assessment, but we also want to make sure that our teachers are given the support because they are definitely brand new standards with the state. And then also, once again, looking at our subgroup performance for mathematics, we also will have SDI strategies for mathematics, and then also conducting data digs with each teacher and case manager to look at their math learning continuum alongside a student's IEP to make sure that we are giving those students who need some additional supports in mathematics using their IEP goals. And then here is, we're doing a whole lot of work here, as always, with the whole child. So we're looking at a detailed behavior management plan through the use of PBIS. So once again, we're excited. Owe it a lot to Ms. Linder, our amazing restorative practices coach and our PBIS school lead. We were recognized at the last expanded cabinet meeting as a PBIS emerging school, which is we are fully implementing PBIS. So it's our third year, but this I feel is our second year of really engaging in those PBIS practices. I'm holding monthly professional learning opportunities for all staff to grow. We have PBIS sessions throughout the year monthly so that teachers can use their data from any referrals or any students that need restorative practices and the use of our mindfulness room. And of course, conducting monthly coaching cycles with teachers to provide feedback and support on the implementation of practices. So we have about 2 to 3 teachers that get additional support from Ms. Linder based on classroom management needs. So I think I got ahead of you guys. So remember where I told you all, this is where as a GO team, you open it up for discussion and we look and see which of our CIP goals are missing and should be added to the plan. I'm thinking that's what that says, but the big question is, are all SIP goals reflected in our strategic plan priorities? And we know the answer to that is no. So we have to decide, number one, our SMART goals definitely need to be adjusted. Okay, because they are not in line with our current school goals. We can always keep these, but our continuous improvement plan goals, which are a part of the district goals, I feel should definitely be on our SMART goals. We don't want to have too many different goals. So, you know, I'm proposing that the first thing we do to really get us kind of shifting on the work we have to do is that we look at our SMART goals on our strategic plan to make sure that our SIP goals are mirrored in that.
And so right now we're looking across the top.
Yes,
we want to make sure that
across the top. Okay. So when you look here at the Barack and Michelle Obama Academy, this is our strategic plan one pager. This was based on last year. So this summer, every school in the district, it was about a 2-month process. We had to develop our continuous improvement plan. And the goal is to make sure that our strategic plan is the same as our continuous improvement plan. You don't want two different plans. And the reason we want the strategic plan to be as current as possible is because this is what we use when we get ready to go into budget season, which is about January. So as a GO team, when the district gives us our budget, as a GO team, we have to vote whether or not the things that we're wanting to put in our budget are in line with our school priorities, okay? And that's the main thing. So we have to have this done before budget season, okay? Yeah, everyone should have the continuous improvement plan as well. So what this normally looks like, of course, you know, our secretary will pretty much, you know, I'll write on this, but this is where we open it up for discussion. So as a GO team, this is where we have to say, you know, I know we need to, number one, align our SMART goals, okay? And then from the SMART goals, we look at our school strategies, definitely our priorities. Like, for example, we know number one is definitely going to stay improve student mastery of core content in literacy and math. That definitely needs to stay because that's what we're working on. But then we look and we see whether or not the strategies that we're saying we're going to do, are they in alignment? Like, for example, 1D would need to be updated because that's not what we're currently using. Now, we can keep that, but we can also add as evident in our GMAT scores, okay? Also, like, for example, do we want to keep utilization of a reading specialist? We no longer have a reading specialist. We can actually put utilization of teacher tutors because we have them now. We can put utilization of some of our LEAP tutors. So we can actually take out and add in based on what we're currently doing. We can actually put, like where it says, implement a conceptual math framework using the Georgia Standards of Excellence. We're no longer using and Eureka. We could scratch out Eureka and put and Envisions because that's our math resource. We could actually put for implement a conceptual math framework, we can actually say, you know, like support teacher implementation of new math standards through the use of district resources / curricular resource Envision. We have already completed the IB feasibility study and applied for candidacy. We already have candidacy. So what would be the next step in the process? That's what we will put here on 2A, okay?
What is the next step?
It's now we're having to write planners, right? So that would be the next thing, which is probably gonna be the case for the next 2 years. Implementing a performance arts pathway. We're not really implementing that, we already have that. So we would most likely want to take those out. So 2A and B need to reflect what we're doing for IB, and 1A through D need to reflect what we're doing for number one. Okay. Also where it says utilize various interventions to support closing our current academic gaps, I definitely think we should keep that, but what are we doing differently with that? So here, I can definitely tell you that we, as a Rollins school and a partner with Atlanta Speech School, we can talk about how we are in the process now of revamping our master schedule to provide more minutes for literacy, which is going on this week. So that is something that we're doing where we are looking at our whole master schedule for each teacher, literacy teacher, and they're going to get an additional 45 to 60 minutes of literacy. And what are we going to do with that? So I think that would be something. And then of course, we're not utilizing the reading specialists. We are we use teacher tutors to do that work, to support us. Because once again, you know, we lost our reading specialist funding with loss of funding. Where it says implement a PBIS school-wide behavior plan, I could consult with Ms. Linder to see, because now we have implemented that, what is next? I can tell you that we are using a lot of data-driven intervention work with our behavior supports so that we can highlight certain students that need additional support. I definitely think we need to highlight the use of our BAS screeners. Because we are doing some things on the November 7th day. I believe we had about 24 students, and I know that's going to probably be in the next go team, that are highly elevated. And so what we're doing at that point is to look at what are we doing for those 24 students if we're not already doing something. So I definitely see some things here that can be tweaked, but I don't want to be the only one giving all the feedback. Like, I don't want to do this alone. So in the past, members of the GO team would support that, and then we would go back, the assistant principal and myself and the coaches, and we would look at it and then propose a new one after our meeting. So like we would all report out, take minutes on what needs to shift, and then we would come back at the next GO team and provide a draft. Okay, so I would like to open it up for some more discussion.
I did have a question.
Yes.
So I'm noticing that the SMART goals for this year are for literacy and math are only Georgia Milestone, which is third through fifth. So should it also include MAP data for K through
so
two.
This was something, in all transparency, that I struggled with. And our district is really pushing us not to have too many goals.
Mm.
So what I would like to propose is that our continuous improvement plan is as it is. But I think in all fairness, to make sure that our students have a foundation, I would like to keep school strategies that support the work of K-2.
Right, because if they're not,
exactly,
if they're behind in K-2,
right,
then you're not going to get the goal.
When we worked on this summer, you all know I had, our plan was like probably double this because I had K-2 in here. And so I was told that just to try to keep it about the GMAT performances, mm-hmm, if you notice our district, Sophie does not reference math.
Right.
Okay. So because they wanted the schools to be all the schools that were using math, we got feedback on our plans that they want us to be more in alignment with the guardrails for the board. And none of them mentioned math. They all are GMAT. So like goal one, goal two, goal three, it's all about numeracy, proficiency, profile of a graduate, all of that. So none of them mentioned the, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because of course that's reported now. So I feel like I would like to still put it in our strategies. And let me tell you why, because this drives our funding. So
yes.
I would like to keep it there because most of the Rollins work is K-3, okay? So we are adding fourth and fifth this year though, but the foundations work, that's the primary space. So we want to keep these things here, but we also want to make sure we're putting things that we still need to fund that are in alignment with the SIP goals.
And you'll still give us an update on MAP score results.
Well, actually, it's in here now.
Right.
Oh, no, those are still reported out.
Right.
But I'm not sure. Right. I'm not sure what we are as a district right now, because that's really not something that's highlighted as much as in the past. But I'm a huge proponent of MAP because it's norm reference, and it really shows us where our students rank in a norm reference, which is nationwide.
And it's highly
right.
correlated to
right.
Georgia milestones.
No.
No?
It's national.
Well, but I mean, the score on the MAP relates to,
it's a predictor.
Right,
which is actually more in alignment with STAR. So that is right. It's a predictor of how the students will perform when they take Georgia milestones. And I also like it because of the primary piece of fluency. You know, they have a whole fluency band as well. So I think that's important. So I definitely want to still keep it under school priority, school strategies. Okay. And it really lends itself even to like number three. So it's already still there. I mean, it's utilizing various inventions, but also the mastery piece as well. And then I do want to make sure in our school strategies that we have something that speaks to how we support and accelerate students that are already on grade level. I think that's one thing we consistently talk about, you know, what are we doing for students that are struggling, but I definitely want to make sure in our school strategies that we talk about how we also, because teachers do that naturally, but I think we need to listen to the language on the school strategic plan as well, because they have to grow on that too. They all, you know, they have to show that they meet their RIC score, their predicted RIC score as well. Yeah.
And then I'm seeing now, it's instead of focusing on attendance,
mm-hmm,
we're focusing on
yes,
behavior.
Because we are doing very well with attendance.
Great.
We almost last year we went up to like last year we had 78% of our kids that were showing better than average growth on attendance. So the reason we decided, because suspension was an issue now. When you look at across the district, it's still low, but it's something we still want to focus on, because if we don't want our students at home, we know it doesn't work. So that's why we want to put ours on there as well. But we are still focusing on attendance, as you all know. We are still focusing on attendance. It's just that we felt that was a piece that we needed some support in as well.
The items around creating a system of school
make sure
support.
People make sure we capture whatever we're saying about this. I need to capture, because I want to make sure when I do the update to the strategic plan that I'm capturing that, because at our next meeting I want to be able to have at least the draft of this so that you all can take a look at it and get the feedback.
I don't see that on any of the other documents. So I'm just trying to understand the creating a system of school support and then the activities around that.
The only thing I can think of is, Ms. Scott, help me. We have a whole family and engagement budget.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that's why they put it on here, because in our budgets,
correct,
we have,
yes,
the engagement piece. So good, that's something good. So we need to make sure that in our school strategies, if that's something we want to look at adding next year, or we think that, you know, like, we don't have a parent liaison, so that should not be there. Where you see 7B, we don't have that. So what are some different things we can do, or we are already doing with our funding, everything from I Love Math Day to, you know, the literacy night, all of those things, and then how we are building capacity to make sure that we communicate with our couriers. So as you can see, yeah, our Wednesday Courier is in there. We're already doing that. Our robocall, Remind 101, School Marquee, Twitter, Instagram, and school website. And I have a principal blog. And Ms. Boucher makes me all the clips and submissions. I think I get four this week. But she's like, two, rather two. Supposed to be a blog, not an encyclopedia. But I do have a principal blog now to try to make sure our stakeholders understand. I definitely have a principal robocall. I'm sorry, Remind 101. We have our school marquee, our Twitter, our Instagram, and our school website. And I believe we are now, we're still on Facebook as well. Ms. Fouché has been doing a great job of that. So we use our communications ambassador to do that as well. But I think this piece with Engage, I would like us as a GO team, we are not doing APTT. The district allowed us to do our own school-based family engagement. So I can already tell you 7A is going to be updated, okay, to what we're doing. They allowed us to use our school-based model. So we need to look at that. But I would like for us to think about what we're doing as far as engaging parents. So like, for example, it is not here, but I'm so excited because this is Parent Conference Week. And so, but that is something that we definitely should put there as well, that we are back to implementing a fall and a spring conference week here at Family.
Oh, and the student conferences,
yes,
aren't on here.
Yes, they are not. I'm so proud of our student conferences. Almost 260 student conferences were held. So very excited. I hope our parents, they told you about their student conference.
Can I say something?
Yes, please.
Not to me. Participation of parents is vital.
Yes.
Once you get them on board,
yes.
I think it'll be much smoother for the kids.
Right, because the communication.
Exactly.
Right.
Get those parents involved.
Right. So one of the things I noticed from this literacy night, not as well attended, is I noticed that when our kids participate in something here, they come.
Yes.
So we try the food. That doesn't move them as much as it used to. But I noticed, you know, I've just been kind of stepping back, observing when the kids are performing in something, they actually will attend. And that's a way to get them in here. So we need to think about that. Or like, for example, they always come to the carnival, GMAS Carnival, because the kids want to come. It's something there for the kids. So we can think about, as a GO team, what are some different ways that schools are leveraging students to hook kids to come. Like, I know some schools, not in this cluster, except one, they do bring your parents to school day. And during that time, they have, you know, something small with the kids, and then they take the parents somewhere else and go over important things that they need them to know for the school. So I know one school in the cluster, and then several across the district are once a quarter, bring your parents to school day.
Wow, we've done it,
yes,
for like National Parent Engagement Day,
yeah,
which was a wonderful turnout.
So I am meeting with Nikki, also speaking with her this week, about National Parent Engagement Day. We know the families are going to come. It was in the Courier today. They are going to come to eat, but that's also a day where I am working with Kilpatrick Townsend and ABLF, but we are also looking at how can we optimize that, because it's going to be packed. So what can we do that time to go over some things with parents about academics, okay? I think that we need to take advantage of that.
Absolutely.
Okay?
So I don't think we should remove the performing arts path. I know we should change the wording from implementation,
yes,
but hearing the connection to how it we know it's good for the students because
it's
a whole child,
it's a whole child.
Then performing draws in parents and the community.
Right, so that's something we can actually add, like implement. I like that we can put like implement student performances,
mm-hmm.
or maybe I'm thinking create or sort of like develop parents, students, school-based activities to bring about more parents to Ms. Lawrence.
Like the Christmas program?
Yes. Yes.
Holiday program?
Yes.
So like,
that
because remember at the end of the year for the award ceremony, they come out for that.
Right.
Right.
So I think it would, the word be kind of like leverage or leverage school-wide events, like student events to like communicate important parent information or something. So that way we're hooking them because they will come out for the kids,
mm-hmm.
but we want to use that time to go over some important student achievement information, academics, ways you can partner with us at home to support your child academically at home. We can definitely leverage that. Okay. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, well, we did that with the preview of the Black History Program.
Yes, yes. So we already know that worked. It was a sneak peek.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of parents, because we needed them for that post, didn't we? That's a good strategy.
That's a strategy.
That's a good strategy. Okay.
Does anyone want to share anything that's on Zoom? We don't want to leave you out.
Oh no, I see the participants.
Yeah.
Okay, but they're still on. Okay, do you all have anything you want to add with that? I know, Mr. Bell, I'll be pulling on you to help me with this performing arts because we're implementing it. So now how does this tie into number two with IB? And then of course, number six, I'll have to get with Dr. Perry on that.
And I know we have said in the past, you know, we have the email group thread.
Yes.
That after, you know, you go home, you digest it. If you think of anything, you can send it to the entire group.
Exactly.
And then we can all see it and capture it that way. And we will add you to the thread now.
Yes. Yes. I will send like an updated kind of draft where I will do like mark through and like addition. And you can sort of like, hey, I think this or whatever. So we get that to the next go team. We can sort of look at it because I'm sure within the next two we're going to have to vote on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, because they want things locked and loaded before budget. Right. Okay.
So if we're back to our faith, which said goals are missing and we're back to the strategic plan.
Which one?
I'm going to answer this question so that
I can't see it up there.
I'm sorry.
So we want to replace the purple boxes.
Yes, it fits. So those, which SIP goals are missing? So all three. So we need to put the three.
The new literacy goal,
right.
The new math goal, and the whole child goal.
Right, those are the three. And then after that, we have to make sure our strategies are in line with, and are we keeping those same priorities, which are still here for us. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that would be updates to your plan. So I would say updates to the strategic plan would be to use our school SIP goals to replace our current school SMART goals. And then I would say to update school strategies to be in alignment with strategic priorities. Because let me open this up. I want to make sure that we are all comfortable with keeping our school strategic priorities, or do you all want to add one, like a number eight? Because community, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Mr. Crecio, you were here. I think we left community because at that time we felt that after COVID, we had kind of lost our momentum to be tapped in with the whole People's Town community.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we're in a much better place. I kind of am in agreement with Ms. Dale where we need to look at our parent engagement.
Oh, yeah.
So we can't say we're focusing on the community,
mm-hmm.
which are people that do not necessarily have students here,
mm-hmm.
if we have not tapped in first to our parents.
Yeah.
Because if you notice,
Even now
7A talks about parents, 7B, but I still feel like we need to be very specific with, like, what are we trying to do? Do we need to say inform, engage, and activate our parents and community?
I was going to say that, and community, because some of that would be to continue, you know, 7D.
Right.
We want to continue.
Yes, we definitely
with the
want to do that.
And cultivate the relationships that we have.
Yeah.
I missed something you said. We're going to utilize our smartphones, align our school strategies.
We want to make sure we'll just put update school strategic priorities and school strategies. But the only thing we're updating to me would be everything else should stay. Okay. I feel like we need to be there. We need to look a little closer at this number 7. Do we add parent and community?
Mm-hmm.
Like inform, engage, and activate the community, or do we need to add something?
Parents and the community.
Right.
Parents first.
And the community. You see that? Parents and community.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then what I will do is update the school strategies to be more in alignment with what we're currently doing here in the school. And for a couple of them, we may have a little, maybe 2 or 3 more. And the reason being is because the GMAS, Georgia Milestone Assessment 3-5, some of those strategies are not the same as what you would do for K-2. But I definitely want to make sure that I put our strategies for K-2 in case we need funding. Because if it's not on here, it's not something we need to fund. And so I want to make sure that as we get into the budget season, that we put those things on here that we know we want to keep in place for our K-2 space, okay?
So there's one other thing.
Let's see, update. We're not updating all.
As needed?
Right, update all school priorities and strategies as needed.
We'll just say the school?
Right.
Update the school priority and strategies as needed?
As needed, right. Okay. And then I'll need to make sure before the next go team, at least about a week before. When is our next go team?
On November 10th.
I have the 15th, probably not right. Is that right? I have the 15th. Okay. Okay, so the 15th, a week before that, I will send you all like a draft of the updates for our school strategies, and everyone can kind of chime in.
It's actually November 29th.
Hold on. Let me.
You know what it is?
Yeah, we changed.
We changed. I'm working on the whole calendar.
It's the 29th.
Okay. I don't know why these keep showing up on these calendars. Okay.
Yeah. I did not fill up these slots because we know that we just need to.
But we're just replacing.
We're going to replace them with our current code.
Yes.
So when you see it online, we
right.
The presentation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and this is our map data. I want to make sure everyone sees our update. I think I showed the spring map at one of our last GOAT team meetings, but what I also want to do is look at the comparison from spring of last year to fall. And no, that's fine. Okay. That's fine. Okay. There we go. And so that's the fall. So you can see that we are definitely showing an improvement. From the spring, I believe we were 56%, and we're now at 44%. And so, and then of course, that's as far as the district, 22%, we were 16% proficient. That's coming into the school year. So definitely showing a great improvement from the previous. And next time we'll make sure we show slide by side so you can look, because it's kind of hard when we toggle. So we ended at 56%, and then we're starting off, you know, definitely much stronger in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very excited about that. Okay. So what did you notice and what are your wonderings and what additional questions? So this is one of my favorite protocols. So we can go back so you can see that. Our district uses this, but we are not testing necessarily the same kids.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth graders are gone. Definitely the district is different. It's 2 through 8. Some students are taking it for the first time. So it's different. We're not very transient here, as some people would think. We tend to get more students in than leave. But I am very excited because we can see that our students are coming in stronger. I love this because we beat the summer slide because we take this in August. And so normally in August, you don't really see data like this. And it looks to me as if we sort of are growing at a higher pace than the district.
That's great. Were there any additional questions? We do have really only a couple minutes left and we still have the principal report.
Oh, wonderful. That's heavy. So principal's report. Oh gosh. Okay. Right. So at our next meeting, we will discuss how our data is aligned to our plan and determine if we can make adjustments before the end of the fall semester. We will take action on ranking our priorities for the next school year. And let me or the chair of any additional information you need for our discussion. So it's going to move fast, y'all. So if you have any questions, suggestions, because we will have to rank our priorities before budget season. Okay. And so principal's report, I'm going to try to go through that. We have had a very, very, very busy, good busy though, a good busy. So Bamo, if you were not at cluster night, I think all of y'all were at cluster night. BAMO showed out and up in droves. So it is near and dear to my heart always as a principal. I truly believe in cluster night so that parents can understand the cohesiveness of the Jackson cluster. So consistently, that's just something I believe in. I also believe it's important for our elementary students to see what they have to look forward to for high school and what this is all about, Friday Night Lights. We're very fortunate once again to be a part of the Living Live Foundation. And so we are fully fledged in that grant. It is through the Whitney Hinckley Foundation. Our fifth graders just spent the day, last week at Clark. They went to their art museum, took a tour of parts of their campus. And so very excited about that. We're trying to work out details, but don't tell them that we're trying to work out either going to see the Wiz or the cast of the Wiz coming to the school.
Oh,
so we're very excited about that. So, we had Hands on Atlanta Day here about 3 Saturdays ago, 4 probably now. Philanthropic partners from Kilpatrick, Chick-fil-A, I forget the Truist Bank, I forget the Cox, and I forget the name of the leadership group. It's Mirrors kind of Lead Atlanta, but it's another group. Almost 100 volunteers. If you have not seen what they have done, everything's my number one ask: teacher workrooms, upgrade to the Zen space. Today, I was out with the kindergartners at our pumpkin field trip, and it just made me just smile when I saw the benches that they put out there. So when teachers are out there with their kids, they have a place to sit. When we have our fall festival, we will have parents that if they have infants, they will have seating. The picnic tables out there, I'm hoping that I'll start to see, you know, as the weather is warm, that we can have teachers that go out there and have lunch with their students. So I'm really excited about that. Dr. Perkins is a literacy consultant. She's been here now probably 3 or 4 times working with our teachers. They really enjoy her coming here. I know Ms. Lawrence has served as a model teacher for her as well. She engages in hands-on lessons with teachers and modeling. Literacy night, what can I say? Huge success. Last Friday, I was fortunate enough to be selected by Georgia State as a recipient of previous Joe Richardson recipient to host 25 leaders from across, thank you, from across Indianapolis. This is their lead. It's comparable to Lead Atlanta. It's called Rise Indy. So these are leaders in Indianapolis that are looking at social injustices. And so they called Georgia State and asked to see a school in Atlanta Public School that was really doing the work of removing all barriers for students that, you know, people write off basically. And so they left here, and I have received emails every day about their visit. They want to come back. They left here with just, they were speechless. And so that was a big thing. And then of course, we're in the middle of Red Ribbon Week. Today is No Place for Hate. Tomorrow is Wear Your Neon, and Friday is Book Character. So it's been a very, very busy week. And Monday is one of our teachers has been really pressing me. It's Ken and Barbie Day. So it's, you know, wear your Ken, wear your Barbie stuff. All right. And so coming up, you see Barbie and Ken Day, the 7th, the Jackson Cluster, we decided that we're not going to send home Chromebooks. So we will be sending home learning packets for the families or whatnot. We don't want families to have to be worried about getting those devices back. The Fall Festival is coming Friday. It's one of our largest events, one of my favorites, and I cannot wait for that. So that concludes my principal's report. I didn't put in there, oh my gosh, I didn't put in there student conferences, y'all. Oh my gosh, to see the students sitting there like they were like high school kids, engaging in conferences, setting goals, which is absolutely amazing. I gave each teacher a day with the sub so they wouldn't feel rushed. They could have one-on-one conversations. And so I'm not sure if you've seen that out on Twitter, pictures of that. And then this week is parent conference week. So very excited about that, giving our teachers the space. So we've canceled all professional learning this week so they could have the space to engage in parent conferences. So any questions?
Thank you. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Stop her. I know she failed on her schedule. She said she's got a lot going on in her life. She told me her schedule.